Many of you know Paul Carter, longtime friend and neighbor. We have a wonderful group of veterans at Holly Grove, and we have them in the front row today. So see them today, tell them you appreciate them, and we thank them for their service. I wish we had time today to hear all of their stories. Unfortunately, we don't, but the fellowship committee is going to be working on something in the coming year, and hopefully we'll have something by next time this year. Next year this time, sorry. We sure do have a great band of brothers here, and we just want you to know that we love and appreciate your service to your country, to your community, and to the love of Christ. So at this time, I would like to ask all our veterans to come forward and stand down front for just a short presentation. Don't be shy. Have we missed anyone in the congregation? Also at this time, I'd like to direct your attention to the screen.
And let us pray. Those three words allow us to start our conversation with God. But when we are being tested or our faith is being challenged, it might be hard to seek comfort or even connect. Our armed forces and veterans know about faith testing all too well. More than 20 million veterans live among us. Each one was willing to put their life at risk in service to our country. And more than 77% of our current veterans have served during wartime. Dear church, this is where we can step in, be a voice for God to our military siblings. 3 years ago, during the 2016 churchwide assembly, our church made a commitment to establish a Sunday of prayer and action closest to Veterans Day. From our chaplains working at a VA hospital to our congregations reaching out to someone in their community, invite veterans to share their stories, learn about the issues they face, and let them know that as a church, we are grateful for their service and offer prayers to sustain their hope in Christ. Psalm 34 teaches us, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Look to him and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed. This poor soul cried and was heard by the Lord and was saved from every trouble. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are they who take refuge in him. Let us extend our deepest appreciation to our veterans for answering their call to service.
That was presiding ELCA Bishop Elizabeth Eden. So at this time, we have a small token for our veterans, and we're going to be handing those out, but I'm going to pass the microphone down to each one of you. Would you give us your branch of service? And if you so desire, the years, and hold the mic close.
Lisa Smith, I served in the U.S. Navy during Operation Desert Storm, Desert Shield, and Enduring Freedom.
Gary McLean, I was in ASA Army, Korea.
Chip Lower, Air Force, 1965 to 69.
Bob Troutman, Vietnam, 1967-1969.
Robin Beck, United States Marine Corps. Today is the 244th birthday of my Corps.
Bill Curry, U.S. Navy, 51 through 55.
Max Carrick, U.S. Navy Submarine Service, 1958 to 1962.
Frank Hamilton, U.S. Air Force, 72 to 97.
Paul Conrad, PFC, stationed in Germany and then went overseas.
Jane Queen, U.S. Army, 61 to 65.
Harold Beck, U.S. Army, 1967 1957 to 1959.
Dwight Everhart, Corporal, Germany in 54.
Bob Waitman, Germany, 66-69, U.S. Army.
Boyd Queen, U.S. Army, 1962 to 65.
There's a couple other people in the congregation that we need to remember, and that's Walter Blower, who is now currently deployed in Saudi Arabia. Also, our son-in-law, Kevin Stewart, United States Marine Corps, and he is going to be traveling to Spain this coming week, so please keep those guys in your prayers as well. So at this time, the fellowship committee would like to present each of these guys with a small memento. So I think probably a great big round of applause would be. This is gone. Here it is. Thank you again for your service, and just please stay. Here.
If you all will turn to page 7 of your bulletin, we're going to say a word of prayer and invite you to join us in that. You all can stay right where you are for one more moment, if you don't mind.
And then we'll let you head back to your seats. On this day, we remember those who have served in our armed forces. Prince of Peace, even as we pray for an end to war, we give thanks for our soldiers' courage, for their love of country, and for their work to bring peace to our world. Healer of all, bind up the wounds of all who have served. Show us how to comfort those who are hurting. Merciful God, all suffer the cost of war. We remember widows and widowers, orphans, and all those separated from those they love. We pray, gracious God, that swords will be turned into plowshares and that peace will reign. We give thanks for all who have served. Shield from danger those who bravely protect us. With them may we glory not in war, but in your love and righteousness. Strengthen us to be your peacemakers in the world. Amen. Thank you all for your service. You're welcome to return. I think you've probably earned the right to sit wherever you want to, but I'm going to suggest that if you have a significant other up here, you should probably sit with them, but you all are welcome to return to your seats. Thank you. It's a busy time in the life of this congregation, and it has been the joy for me and my family to be with you in this journey these past 5 years, and you likely know by now that today is the last day that I'll be with you in that journey. It's been my honor and my privilege, and I'll talk a little bit more about that as we go today. But it's also a busy time. There's a lot going on in the life of the congregation, so please do check out your bulletin. I'm going to hit a couple of highlights. A week from today, there's a congregational meeting. Hopefully you got a notice of that in the mail immediately following worship to look at budgets and to elect council members. There are copies of that budget, I believe, in the back. Is that right? Are there copies of the budget in the back? I think there are copies of the budget in the back. Chip says yes. Okay, so check that budget out if you have questions about that ahead of next week. And then I want to make sure that we note that for middle and high school youth, there are events programmed through May with Davidson Lutheran Youth, and the event for this month is next week, Sunday afternoon from 5 to 7 at First Lutheran Church. It's a Nerf Wars social. So if you've got Nerf toys, bring those and enjoy that time of fellowship together next week. And then also need to add to our prayer list a little bit. Mandy and Brody Fritz were both in the hospital Thursday night going into Friday, and both got out Friday, and we're glad, and they're here, and they're doing well, but there's some healing that needs to go on for both of them, so we're going to keep them in our prayers certainly in the coming days. The last thing I'll mention is that the silent auction for scholarship was out last week. That stuff is still in the entryway over here, and don't miss on the parlor door also. The parlor door's open because we're going to have some seating in there for lunch, which I hope you will stay for if you can. We've got a lunch coming, but on the parlor door, there are also some nice items available. Lots of barbecue, pork butt, smoked turkey, and also a session to work on wills. If you need to work on your will, and that's for two people, I think, so that Holly Curry has offered to do. So check those silent auction things out. Join us for lunch today if you can. I think it's probably time for me to be quiet. Other announcements we should be aware of? Andy, yes, sir. So 6:50, that's a departure from normal for tomorrow night council meeting. Thank you, sir. Other announcements?
Handbells next Sunday at 3.
Handbell practice next Sunday at 3. I'm sure you are all invited. Experienced handbellers and new ringers, right? And it looks like we have a couple of prayer shawls this morning.
The first one I have is for Teresa Fritz. That is Johnny's daughter-in-law, and she has been diagnosed with cancer, if you'll keep her in your prayers. And the last one, I didn't know I was going to have to do this one, is for Pastor Matt and Carrie. God's blessings.
Thank you. Continue with our prelude. Thank you. remind me that I'd be remiss if I didn't wish some folks happy birthday this week. So we wish happy birthday to Andy and Rick, Jeff, Boyd, and Chrissy, and happy anniversary to Shane and Mandy and Ross and Elisa. Are there other folks we should add? Let's pray for those folks. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We'll stand and go directly into our hymn this morning. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, our eternal Redeemer, by the presence of your Spirit you renew and direct our hearts. Keep always in our mind the end of all things and the day of judgment. Inspire us for a holy life here, and bring us to the joy of the resurrection. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated, and I'll invite the children to join me for the children's message. Good morning, everybody. Come on this way. I have some pictures on here, and I wanted to show these to you guys and see if you knew any of these people that I'm going to start with. The first one is this really good-looking man, does anybody know who that is? Have you ever seen this guy before? That is me. Okay, yeah. Okay, that's right. I have been your pastor here, right? For 5 years. and it's been awesome. I've been so honored and blessed to be with you guys these 5 years, and it has been so wonderful. But some of you guys know this, right? My family is going to be moving, and so you guys are going to start doing some imagining and dreaming about who your next pastor might be. And it's sad. I'm sad that I'm not going to be here with you guys, but it's also exciting that you guys are going to start to have this process of dreaming about who your next pastor may be. So I wanted to show some pictures and see if any of you all remember these folks. This is not a good picture, but do you remember who that is? Yes, yeah, say it. Pastor Garrett. Pastor Garrett, yeah. So before I got here, Pastor Garrett was here, right? And she was awesome, as far as I can tell. In fact, I think if she could have stayed, you all would have been just as happy as you could be with her. And so I'm so glad that she was here in the interim. So that your pastor right now for today still looks like this, right? And you had a pastor before that as an interim pastor who looked like that, right? And before that, you had another pastor who looked sort of like this. I don't know if you guys remember. Pastor John, that's right. He was here, and he looked sort of like this. The cool thing is, those three pastors that you just saw, did any of them look the same? They look pretty different, right? Different faces, but also they had different gifts and skills, things that God had given them to help them be your pastor. They had different things, and maybe I had some different ones too. But there are so many gifts and skills out there that go with all kinds of different pastors. So I'm going to show you some other pictures, and I want you guys to start thinking about what do you think would be good, what would be helpful for Holly Grove Lutheran Church, what kind of pastor do you need, okay? So you might have a pastor who looks like this, right? This is a pastor in the Lutheran Church, okay? So you could have a pastor that looks like that. Or you might have another one of these guys with a beard. His beard's a little grayer than mine, right? And he looks pretty different from the woman I just was showing you, right? She had blonde hair and a collar that went all the way around. And this guy, he looks pretty different, right? He's got a beard. You could have a pastor who looks like this, right? She could be your pastor. There are all sorts of pastors with all sorts of different gifts. There are even pastors in our church who look like this and who look pretty different than I look, right? She doesn't have a beard at all, although she's about as tall as me. She wears a clerical collar sometimes, but sometimes she doesn't. And she's got a lot of ink that I don't have, doesn't she? Yeah. So what I want you guys to know is, there are so many people out there with different gifts and different things that they're really good at, and I'm excited for you to start thinking and dreaming about what kind of pastor you might have and what kind of gifts they might bring. So if you have things that you think are important for your next pastor, talk to your parents, and when there's a call committee set up, your parents can talk to the call committee or members of council about that and just start dreaming. What do you guys think you need? It's going to be really exciting to have that new person. And will you guys do me a favor? When they get here, they're not going to know anybody. And that's kind of hard, right? Can you guys welcome them and be really good to them and nice to them and introduce them to people and show them things they don't know how to do? Because they're going to know a lot about God and teaching you about God, but they're not going to know anything about this place. You guys are the experts in this place, because actually all of you pretty much have been around this place for a long time. Some of you since the time you were born, you've been around this place. So you guys are kind of the ones that know. Will you do me that favor and help the new person when they get here to learn all about you and be kind to them? And I think they're going to have some exciting things to teach you and show you too, so we can give thanks to God for that. Will you pray with me? Lord God, thank you for our ministry together. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, who will send a new pastor to Holly Grove. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. And I think before you go anywhere, Miss Tina said she wanted to say something. So I said, you can do whatever you want, Miss Tina.
I'll give you your shirts.
All right.
So hopefully you can
Can you hold that up, Marcus? Wow. Can you say thank you?
Thank you,
guys. You guys can line up over at the door if you're going to Children's Church.
Oh, that my words were written down. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that an iron pen and with lead they were engraved on a rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, then in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see on my side, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm is Psalm 17. Hear a just cause, O Lord, attend to my cry, give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit. If you try my heart, if you visit me by night, if you test me, you will find no wickedness in me. My mouth does not transgress.
As for what others do, by the word of your lips, I have avoided the ways of the violent.
My steps have held fast to your paths, my feet have not slipped. I call upon you, for you answer me. Wondrously show your steadfast love, O Savior of those who seek refuge from their adversaries at your right hand.
Guard me as the apple of the eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings.
From the wicked who spoil me, my deadly enemies who surround me. The second reading is from 2 Thessalonians. As to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we beg you, brothers and sisters, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as though from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord is already here. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first. And the lawless one is revealed, the one destined for destruction. He opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, declaring himself to be God. Do you not remember that I told you these things when I was still with you? But we must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits for salvation, through sanctification by the Spirit and through belief in the truth. For this purpose, he called you through our proclamation of the good news, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by word of mouth or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us through grace, gave us eternal comfort and good hope, comfort our hearts and strengthen them in every good work and word. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Some Sadducees those who say there is no resurrection came to Jesus and asked him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless, then the second and the third married her, and so in the same way all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her. Jesus said to them, those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now, he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all of them are alive. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. I do have a few personal things that I want to say this morning, since it's the last time I get to be in this place as your pastor. But we should probably say a few things about the Sadducees and the resurrection before I go there. The Sadducees were the folks who ran the temple and all the worship establishment that surrounded it. The Sadducees and the Pharisees disagreed on a lot of things, but the one thing that brought them together was that they all thought Jesus was bad news. So when the Sadducees ask Jesus about the resurrection, they aren't coming here to sit at his feet and learn from him. This is the Sadducees trying to get their gotcha moment on Jesus. They want to catch him in something and make him look stupid on this issue of the resurrection. Because the Sadducees are these super conservative Jews. They only take the first five books of the Bible as authoritative scripture. They didn't even consider the rest of the Hebrew scriptures to be holy. And one of the things that came with this was that they did not believe in any sort of resurrection from the dead. They basically said, hey, it's not explicitly in the Torah, which is the books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. It doesn't say in there anything about resurrection, and so therefore the Sadducees didn't believe in one. So they try to trip Jesus up with this absurd example about a woman widowed over and over again, and whose wife will she be in the resurrection? But the way that Jesus answers them shows that there is a lot they have misunderstood. We might say today, well, the fact that they were talking about this woman like she was property, first of all, that's problematic, right? But basically what Jesus points out is that this is not the way that the resurrection works. Marriage is a wonderful thing for this life. But in the resurrection, Jesus says, you don't have to worry about marriage, which we should say does not mean that we aren't reunited with the ones we love in the resurrection. I don't think that is what this is about. The way I think about it, it's just more like we are in perfect and full relationship with God and all people in the resurrection. But Jesus' basic point seems to be this: the life of the resurrection is deeper, it's richer, it's fuller than simply taking this life with all of its problems and joys and stretching it out and making it last forever. I mean, think about that. Would you really want a life just like the one that you have now that was an infinite eternity long? The resurrection is about more than that. It's not just about how much life there is, but what the quality of that life is like. Presumably, that life is the way God intends for life to be for us. And who better to know what's good for us and what we want and need than the God who made us? If you believe in Jesus, then pretty clearly the Sadducees were wrong about the resurrection. That's why we are a hopeful people, because we believe that this life is not all that there is. Because Jesus has died and was raised, we believe that we too will be raised along with all those whom God claims. For, as Job reminds us, God is not a God of the dead, but of the living. And that seems as good a way, as good a word as any for this pastor to go out on. So thanks be to God who claims us and gives us that abundant life. Now, on a more personal note, the middle of this week, I finally got around to doing what I'd not been able to do before. I pulled out this box full of cards that you all had written to me about a month ago for a beautiful Pastor's Appreciation Sunday. Such a kind gesture to receive all those nice words, and I was touched to receive them then, that day a month ago. But I also had this weird knowledge in my head that there was this other congregation that same day who was in the process of issuing me a call, and the timing really could not have been worse on that. So I think it was guilt that kept me from opening all these cards. I felt guilty receiving all these kind words and appreciations from you, and then knowing I was having to leave you. So I let this box sit on the back of my desk for 3.5 weeks until it finally seemed disrespectful to all of you who had taken the time to write to me these beautiful words, only to have had me not open them yet. So this week, with all this swirl of emotions happening, excitement about new things, surely, but a whole lot of real grief about the close of this chapter and the relationships that have been so meaningful to us these last years, I started opening cards. And my goodness, it was beautiful and it was painful. Things can be beautiful and painful, right? It brought into sharp relief how much my family and I have been blessed these last 5 years to be here with you. I was ordained right here, and both of my babies were baptized right there. It has been an honor through all of this to be your pastor. Whether I had had those big deals go on here or not, it was the relationships that have been so meaningful for me. You let me walk with you in the most sacred moments of your lives as you welcomed your children or said goodbye to loved ones. And through it all, it has been my honor to be your pastor. Thank you for that and for letting us be a part of you. I am genuinely going to be really excited to hear what comes next for Holly Grove, what God is up to in this place now. And I have been praying for you for a long time, and I will be praying for you for a long time, and for whoever the Spirit is already maybe nudging, and who is going to be your new pastor in this place. The words of 2 Thessalonians we heard today seem like an appropriate closing. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God the Father, who loved us and through grace gave us an eternal comfort and good hope, may the Lord comfort your hearts and strengthen you in every good work and deed. Amen. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let's confess what we believe with the use of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He ascended to the dead. On the third day,
united with the saints of every time and place, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Ending each petition, hear us, O Lord, your mercy is great. Loving Redeemer, by grace you have chosen us to live boldly as resurrection people. Strengthen us to stand firm and proclaim the good news to the world. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Divine Judge, your justice and mercy are revealed to us in your steadfast love. Grant rest and peace to our faithful veterans and give courage to the government officials who lead, serve, and protect. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Listening, God, your beloved people call to you and you answer them. Hear the cries of those who are poor and unemployed, those who seek refuge, those who suffer from addiction, and all who are sick or in need. Guard and keep them in your loving care. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Generous teacher, you look upon your children with a loving heart. Bless the ministries of those who work with, serve, teach, and lead children. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of the living, to you all are alive. We give thanks for those who have died in the faith. Give us joy in knowing that our Redeemer lives and that we will be united with the faithful in a resurrection like he is. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Rejoicing in hope, we lift our prayers to you, most gracious Lord, trusting that you have received them in your care. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
We share a sign of Christ's peace. Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Thank you. May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Congregation may be seated. I think, Carrie, our family is needed up here.
If everybody will follow along on page 8 of your bulletin. Pastor Matt, Carrie, Marcus, little Hannah. Pastor Matt, on December the 1st, 2014, we called you to be our pastor, to proclaim God's word, to baptize new members into the church of Jesus Christ, to announce God's forgiveness to us, and to preside at our celebrations of the Lord's Supper. With the gospel, we have been challenged to live lives of service. With the gospel, you have comforted us in times of sickness and trouble, and at the death of our loved ones. Sharing our joys and our sorrows, you have been important to our life together in the Church of Jesus Christ and in our service to this community.
Thanks be to God for our shared ministry these last 5 years.
Pastor Matt, you have received a letter of call to become the pastor of St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Asheville, North Carolina. And you have said yes to that new calling. We want to acknowledge that it is not only that church calling you and you saying yes, we are sending you. You have been in our midst for 5 years. You have been part of this church family, sharing your gifts for the sake of Christ's mission in our community. You have learned and grown here, even as you have taught us to do the same. We are proud to send you with our blessing. Please kneel to receive our prayers.
Hannah, come over here, baby. Okay, Marcus, come stand right here, buddy. Right here.
Gracious God, you have called us in your baptism.
Marcus, it's okay, just let me.
You have enabled us to respond to your call as a community of believers. Thank you for the partnership and the gospel we have enjoyed with Pastor Matt and his family. Now send them forth to continue their work in another congregation and community. Strengthen them for the mission you have placed before them, and may they go from here knowing our love and our continued partnership. In Jesus' name.
Amen. This is where the boundaries between what's allowed and what's not breaks down, right? Because we brought them up front, right? Hey, Marcus, would you come stand with us, please? Yeah, I need you to stand with me, please. It's a strange time in our world, right? Okay, buddy. Okay. I need you to calm down. We're almost done. Okay. Marcus. Hey, Marcus.
When we end our worship, we often hear, "Go on peace and serve the Lord." Today we speak it to you. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God, and Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
We'll sing another hymn. We stand.